Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
The U.S. Declaration of Independence says humans have an unalienable right to the pursuit of happiness. If we're entering a long period of economic decline, how hard will it become to pursue that happiness? It's an important question now, since it seems to be that point in the history of the experiment, called industrial economy, where economic growth could stop. After all, growth can't continue forever on a finite planet. And fossil fuels have powered our economy. We could not have built the interstate highway system, a huge global air travel network, or the global food, mining, and manufacturing economy using just wood and wind and the sun and nuclear power and hydro. Now, as some people have foreseen for four decades, we're about at the peak in world oil production. Even production of gas and coal may be near their peaks. It doesn't mean we're about to run out of them. It does mean that the rate we extract them from the ground will stop growing and, ultimately, start shrinking. Over the last decades, research into what contributes to people's happiness has exploded. It turns out the research contains good information on how to contract our economy while maintaining our well-being. Everyone I've come across who has looked at the topic finds compelling reasons to pay attention to the happiness research and use indicators other than GNP, gross national product, to guide policy. It's long been recognized that growing GNP doesn't necessarily mean we're better off. As someone once said, if you crash your car and take it in for repairs, you increase GNP. And if you injure someone in the process, you increase GNP even more. In neither case, is the increasing GNP making us better off. If the declining economy means less work and we take more time to help each other in voluntary organizations, that's good for our happiness and our health. It turns out that from a neurological point of view, it really is better to give than to receive. Giving time and money to others lights up the pleasure centers in our brains. And giving time to others, or just spending time with others, helps our health. As Stuart Comstock Gay of the Vermont Community Foundation pointed out at a recent conference on gross national happiness, if you smoke and you are active in no organizations, you improve your health about as much if you become active in one organization as if you stop smoking. John DeGraff, executive director of Take Back Your Time, was at the Gross National Happiness Conference too. He said that the current recession has, in many ways, been good for workers in the U.S. He said that people in the U.S. are working fewer hours than any time since the 1960s. People are exercising more, eating less in restaurants, and eating less fast food, since that's part of the stressed, overworked lifestyle. Home gardening is up 40%. Volunteering is up. The savings rate is up, which is good for people's sense of security. And people are visiting family and friends more. And driving less, which is huge. U.S. deaths on the road dropped from 40,000 per year to 31,000. Less driving has also meant less air pollution, leading to less childhood asthma and fewer adult deaths. Of course, some people are not just working fewer hours, they're unemployed. And that has a terrible effect on happiness and health. The more ways we can find to spread the employment hours around, the healthier and happier we're likely to be. Ben Bernanke, chair of the Federal Reserve, has also been thinking about increasing happiness in hard times. In a recent speech, he used the happiness research to promote a different type of social safety net for the unemployed. He said, well, I won't read it, let's just listen to him.
Social interactions appear very important for individual happiness. One application of this insight involved a program in Canada in which recipients of employment insurance or income assistance were offered jobs in community development and opportunities to develop a social network. Being unemployed is stressful, not just because of loss of income, but also because of feelings of loss of control and diminished self-worth. But individuals who participated in these opportunities reported higher satisfaction than those who did not.
Whether or not you agree that limited fossil fuel production means an end to economic growth, it seems that aiming social policies at increasing happiness is a good idea. Even the Fed chair thinks so. I'm Carl Ettnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.